Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there, welcome to the show that is brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Three of us here today in the form of me, Dan Moylan, along with Michael Normanton and Moscow White as well, Daniel Chapman. First things first, we need to say thank you, don't we? Because we won in London, we went down to London, we came back with
this, which is nice. If you're on the video, you can see our trophy, yep. The FSA Award Fan Media of the Year.
Which we didn't expect to win, but...
What's that?
Thanks to your sterling efforts, voting, we did win it in the end. I don't think we didn't expect to win, did we?
We probably thought the Anfield Rap would win, didn't we? Because of, you know, special club and all that.
They got 500,000 followers on social.
Yeah, that was the main thing.
It was a public vote, so the fact that we did, and it's thanks to your votes. I mean, if you didn't vote, then not you, but if you did, then thank you for whatever system of VPNs you used, anonymous browsing.
All worthwhile.
But brilliant fun. Just talk me through the trophy then, Michael, and why it's got scratches down the front of it. Because obviously I got...
That's a bit more damage.
Yeah, I got a pasting for dropping the very first one we won 11 years ago, which was all glass.
This is also all glass, but did survive.
It's weightier glass, it should be said.
Yeah,
it really
a lot weightier.
You could kill a man with that.
Very much so, yeah. I was holding it and Oddie tried to bundle me onto a dance floor, which was up a step, which I don't think he realised. So I fell over, I think with Oddie on top of me. But he has no memory of this, so I can't confirm. We'll have to maybe get the pub to send us some CCTV footage or something. But you can't really see it on camera. It's fine.
It looks lived in.
And as you told us with the one we broke, it's the winning it that's the important bit.
Yeah. It is important also to bring a trophy home with
you. That's not what you said when you smashed it up. You said winning it was the main thing.
I take it back now.
Okay.
Now someone else has caused damage.
Okay, no, fair enough.
So honestly, thank you again. It's a real honour to have won it, isn't it? Because it was a public vote. So awesome. We're really, really proud of that. And we will treasure it and we'll probably milk it for many, many years to come, I think.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't see why not. Shall I put it in its rightful place now?
If you want to shelf mount it, by all means, tuck it
in behind Bielsa.
Yep. Is it alongside him? Does it want to go?
Are we going to have to take Bielsa down if he goes to Bournemouth? This is probably more for the main show.
Just paint stripes on him.
But yeah, it can live in that corner.
Yeah. Because that's the trophy cabinet. Isn't it? We've got a bigger trophy cabinet that needs more trophies in it than Spurs, which is a neat segue into talking about what happened. That feels like a lifetime ago, given all the drinking that went on. A word, by the way, to the guys, Maz and Mark, from Marching Out Together as well, who were sat on our table. So it meant we were mob-handed. We're Leeds on our table. 7 of us out of the 10 were Leeds, weren't we?
They was robbed. Yeah. Well, probably.
But it was lovely to have their company. We had a smashing night, particularly when Maz came back from the bar in the hotel. It was the Nobu Hotel in North London, very posh, Portland Square. It was basically free wine. They kept putting it on the table. So obviously we kept drinking it. And being from Yorkshire, Maz just mooched off to the bar, came back with one in each hand, unopened. It's free. We might as well have it. Like, absolutely perfect reasoning. But yeah, we had a good time. Thank you so much for allowing us to have, to create memories into Spurs then. And the questions that have been thrown up by the football world this week. Propaganda is all about what's been said in the football world by you, in the media, on the fan channels, and let's answer the questions that have been posed. The first question, and it's kind of thrown up by the variety of comments on our TSB Plus members' feedback, is it even possible to get the right tone with this Leeds United team? It's a very confusing team, isn't it?
Yeah, I sort of think we're both good and terrible at the same time. I think we've got good players, but just doing things occasionally that make us look absolutely abysmal.
Like conceding 4.
Yeah.
Scoring 3 is great.
Yep.
And we scored 4 in the game before that, but we also conceded 3.
Yeah.
So if you take the Carabao Cup out of it, it was 7 goals scored, which is great.
Good fun.
In 7 days. That's, you know, you'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
But also 7 conceded, and that's not as good.
they've taken your points, goals equals points thing to heart, and they've been like, don't matter, lads, concede as many as you want.
Score your way to safety.
Scoring's the important thing.
It is better that we can score than not score, because that seemed to be the problem a while ago. And so it's there, isn't it, that if we just go back to defending how we did at the start of the season, but keep scoring like we're scoring now, problem solved. Champions League.
Score more, concede fewer.
Yeah, but then even that, it doesn't, I think trying to work out what the plan should be or the principle should be, it basically, when we were defending at our best, it was Diego Llorente was in the heart of our defence and everything was fine until we went to Brentford. And then since then, we've taken him out of the team, but we haven't managed to go back to our Llorente strength. But nobody, I think anybody is thinking, you know what we need to do, put Llorente back in and then the defence will be fine.
None of it makes sense.
It's very difficult to work out what we do from here.
Boney M's comment, I couldn't be more confused by Leeds right now. I need to sit down. And to give you the breadth of comments, Sign1919, you seem to want to stay away from being too negative, talking about the match ball, even though there was so much shit on display. It is admirable, but mistaken, talking about us. But then Scott Soates, you got it spot on, chaps. Bloody awful individual mistakes are killing us. Let's hope it's not terminal, though. Pat Bamford's eco shoes, at least we're good for a bit. Very Leedsy result, to be honest. And Panchi just asks, are we shit?
Sometimes, yeah. You can't possibly look at the breakdown of goals we're conceding and say we're not at least shit at some things. Because there's just those massive, massive spaces. At either wing and then at the edge of the box, we don't seem to be able to defend those gaps whatsoever.
Here's what a variety of people had to say about this.
I had the unfortunate experience of being in this south stand among all the Spurs fans today, not in the away end where I really would have loved to be. You know, when Somerville scored the fourth goal, just having to sit there with a blank face, not saying anything, not celebrating, it is the worst when you're just like screaming inside. I think overall, though, good performance. It's heartbreaking to not come away with anything from the game, especially when Harry Kane's fourth goal shouldn't have counted. But it is what it is.
4-3s are great, but only when we're winning them. Unbelievable. Games management. 3-2, game management. 3-all, game management. 4-3, that's not game management.
We should have won that game. Marsh making attacking substitutions in the 89th minute. I'd really like to meet him. No fucking said.
That's Connor Marvin and our friend Ghost Shark there, which is why
Is that what that was? I didn't recognise his voice.
I didn't want to name check him up front because, you know, let's not spoil the surprise of having Ghost Shark on the show. Yeah.
Of course, we won the 4-3 Liverpool game, didn't we, on our first game back? So a 4-3 defeat can be good. Because we all took that to be at least a draw, didn't we?
Yeah, we were so young and full of hope and optimism then, though. We were new to the Premier League, weren't we?
It's weird, though, isn't it? Because it's just about the way the game goes. There is a way we lose to Spurs 4-3 and aren't annoyed. It was just the fact we kept taking the lead and knackering it.
No, if we'd been 4-0 down and then clawed it back to 4-3.
Yeah, or even if they go a couple up, we get it back to 2-2, it's 3-2, it's 3-2. You know, if it goes like that, it's sort of, and it's not quite so late in the game, I think people are all right with it.
I think throwing it away in 2 minutes as well, like two very similar sort of things going down their right and cutting in. And, you know, it's Marsh's involvement in all that is difficult because Tottenham scored twice doing the things that he made tactical changes specifically to stop from happening. He said, he expected them to spread the play, so we'll go five at the back so we can double up out wide and we'll stop the crosses from coming in. And that's exactly how they scored their two goals in 2 minutes. But then his claim afterwards was that the players weren't fully committed to the tactics and behaviours that would have stopped that from happening, which, I don't know. Maybe you can say that, and obviously the players performing better in those moments would have stopped the goals, but also, did we need to make that change when they were doing pretty well, being committed to the behaviours that they were already doing to go 3-2 up? You know, we were playing perfectly well, and there's always the argument for going more defensive and you need to shut up shop, but when something does blow up that badly, it's hard to just put it on the players who suddenly had to change what they were doing from doing something that was working well into doing something that immediately just went wrong.
What's a person from Wisconsin called? A Wisconsinite? Wisconsiner?
A cheesehead.
Fine. Well, Wisconsin Todd is here.
I need to check that in case of hilariously offending somebody.
They're from Philadelphia.
Wisconsin, phew.
Right, anyway, Wisconsin Todd has been on just talking about the very thing you mentioned there, Moscow, actually.
Well, I don't think Jesse is perfect. I think some of his tactics do accentuate some of our flaws. I guess what I keep coming back to is what manager or what tactics are out there that are suddenly going to make a squad that has a pretty limited ceiling in the Premier League suddenly get Leeds to where we want them to be, which is safely mid-table. I just don't think that person is out there. I think we are limited by the, you know, constraints of our owners.
He's a fellow cheesehead, along with Jesse Marsh, so he's naturally going to be in his corner.
I mean, one of the things that did help us do very well was the stuff we were doing in the first 80 minutes. So it is possible to do well with this team. Three goals against Spurs. I know they're not the best defensively, but it's not to be sniffed at. And we've played well against Liverpool. We played well against Bournemouth. We played well against Tottenham. But I just can't shake this feeling that sort of we're a little bit better when, I mean, we didn't play well against Bournemouth until we changed it. There's an element of, like, the less Marsh does, the better we seem to be.
Is that unfair? That's
yeah, unfair. But I don't know. Well, he changed it on, he keeps having to change things. Like, plan A never works. We're always having to go with plan B, it seems like. I don't know. I'm just confused trying to fathom it all out as anybody. But the Bournemouth, we were terrible for 60 minutes and then he had to come up with changes. So that was successful. But then you ask what was wrong with the first 60 minutes. And then Tottenham, we were great for 70 minutes and you're thinking 78 minutes. Great, right, good stuff, Jesse, well done. But then he makes those changes and it all goes wrong. And then he's saying it's the player's fault after the game. And you're thinking, where are we at with this fellow?
I think it's because he's never had a good run of games, has he? Where we've, yeah. I think two on the bounce is the most we've ever won under him. And even that's only happened a few times, I think. And it just feels like, I think that leads to a slight lack of faith in what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's why it feels unfair, is because you haven't built up the bank of trust. So he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, like at Southampton. But then the Southampton one was, he'd been crowing all week about how he's going to use substitutions to get around the heat and then didn't make any. So you lose sort of faith trying to marry up the things he says with the things he does. And then you're trying to work out, well, what's the, where are the positive impacts coming from? You know, was Bournemouth him or was it just, you know, Nonto and Somerville come on and, well, Somerville was already on, but Nonto comes on and is just a surprise, brilliant performer and changes the game. Greenwood scores an incredible goal out of nothing.
Is it a bit of both, probably?
Yeah, probably. But Michael's right that what you need in that is you need to see like a bunch of games where you can clearly just build up some momentum and just go, yeah, this guy actually does know what he's doing.
Because this point last season, with Stella Bielsa in charge, we were more or less on the same points, I think, weren't we? But we all still had faith in it.
Because we'd seen it work for three seasons.
Exactly. So it's not, we'll be being...
But even though we weren't great, were we? That's the thing.
No, we weren't.
But we still had the faith in it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So we were very much backing him last season at this point. Whereas with Marsh, it feels like, are we being unfair now, not being completely behind Marsh? Or were we being ridiculous and rose-tinted about Bielsa at this point last year?
Well, no, the difference is that you know what the successful team looked like. At this point last year, you knew what we were trying to get to, whereas we've not seen a successful, consistent Jesse Marsh team. So the question for Marsh at the moment is this going to get so much better, or have we seen it as good as it is and this is it? Whereas we knew with Bielsa's team that we could do better and we just weren't getting to it. So you knew what you were wishing for. At this point, you don't know what the next step's going to be, which is why it's really confusing.
So to address the question, is it possible to get the tone right with this team? We don't know.
Absolutely no idea.
It depends on your point of view, isn't it? I think there's a lot of people who think we're being too pessimistic about Marsh and we should be supporting him more, and there's lots of people who want him sacked now. So
we're never going to get it right.
But the fact of it is that from being on the verge of being sacked, what looked like, at least from outside, he's turned it round and there's been enough in the two wins and then the enough in the performance at Spurs that he will be here in January and the end of December. And that's when it all comes down, because the end of December, City and Newcastle, you know, we'll see what happens. But then after that, we've got Forest and West Ham and Aston Villa and Brentford. And that run of games, it would be a big ask of any team to win all four. But if we went
I'd take it.
And if we went eight without winning, it would be nice if we could go four without losing in January. And that would just give us a big platform for next year. So at the moment, trying to make any decisions about Jesse Marsh, it's all just a bit, a swirl of porridge. And we need more data. And he can stick around and give it to us with our blessings.
Well, if it is confusing you, maybe the best option is to do what Dremit did and just don't really bother. Didn't see or listen to the game, so can't really say anything, but the occasional glance at the live score was thrilling. 0123333433. The Square Ball California Pale Ale is magnificent. Well done, lad. There you go.
It's available from North Brewing on the website, on the internet. That's where the websites are kept.
and they're still putting them there.
Yes, you've got to be over 18 only for North Brewing and to buy any booze.
Yes.
Got to put that out there because we can't be selling booze to children.
No.
It was an exciting game. It was a good game as well. Two teams playing pretty well. Us, you know, the result is terrible, but I quite enjoyed watching it until the last few minutes. But then the last few minutes felt a bit like, oh yeah, we were going to do that, weren't we? So I'm used to it.
We found out as well through listening to Tottenham fans that we're not the only kind of Jekyll and Hyde fans who can't quite make our minds up about what's good and bad. I mean, I mentioned that my dad left Elland Road when Leeds were 3-1 down, only for us to win 4-3, and the Tottenham lot do it as well. So this is Tottenham away, is it? Even though they were at home.
And the bad cut at the end of this isn't my bad cut. This is how it ends. I wonder if he's kind of just thought, I'm going to go back in at this point.
Not the only one leaving. Quite a few leaving. It's just ridiculous that every time that there's an attack or not a goal, it's got a result into a goal. Literally, that's been the case today. Every single attack leads has resulted into the ball going the back of the net. Just fucking shambolic defending, man. Yet against Costas. We can't concede this many goals every game.
Bearing in mind they're third as well, or whatever they are in the league table now.
He goes 3-3 by the sounds of it. You can hear the roar there. But it doesn't change my thoughts of the game.
I'm doubling down now on my opinion.
Let's hope. Let's hope. Let's hope. There's a...
Come on, man.
3-3. So it seems like, as you heard the roar just now, but I'm done with it.
Just stop pressing the record.
I am going to go back in. I am going to go back in because there's still 10 minutes to go. Don't leave early.
Ever.
Why would you? What's wrong with people?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's incredibly spoiled. I don't know if it's just because he's filming himself, so it feels like he has to, you know, it makes better hashtag content than if you're marching out the stadium in a mood instead of sitting there and just enjoying a football match.
Yes.
We literally didn't score with every literal attack, literally.
Did we literally not?
But we did all right. I think underrated was Rodrigo hitting the post when he was offside. I know that, like, there's like four different reasons why it's not a goal, but it was a...
But apart from that...
It was a good practice for the one he scored in the second half, and that and also his turn and volley were great finishes, which I enjoyed very much. They were nice.
It's nice to know they're Jekyll and Hyde as well, though, isn't it? It's nice to know that all fans have that sort of irrational, despite where they are, they've still got that irrational hatred of their own team for letting them down. What did you make of Spurs? That's the question I want to ask from this.
I thought they were pretty crap. I think they were I did think they were quite lucky that we let them score some goals. And their goals were lucky. The first goal, which we'll come on to the referee stuff, but the first goal simply shouldn't have counted. And then a couple of deflected goals. They only scored one proper goal, Poxy.
They should have scored that one with, what's their fullback called that they hate?
Emerson Royale.
Emerson Royale, when he blasted it over.
I know it's Sergio Aurier, but he's an old one they hate, isn't he?
It was the classic goal against Leeds and he fluffed it. It's like, you get all that room at the back post and you can pick your spot, and he did pick his spot. So we were lucky there, but then, yeah, completely ridiculous on the first goal. I suppose they just look moody. We were saying that before the game when I misidentified their captain. They give it to the goalkeeper instead of the centre forward. But they seem like a pretty miserable bunch. I suppose the worrying thing from our point of view, and Spurs fans might ask questions, is how every time we scored, literally with every literal attack that we literally scored, they were literally able to literally raise their game and literally equalize.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our favourite pundit here on the show has some thoughts that he'd like to share.
Football in the most expensive library in the world. When their fans do actually get fucking vocal, they sound like they're from the 1960s.
That's Ghost Shark for you again.
I did find, in looking for some propaganda clips, I came across an old clip of a small girl at Spurs trying to get a high five off Dele Alli, and he's going, and he ignores her, and she says to her dad, "He's mugging me off. He's mugged me off." Which I quite enjoyed.
Being mugged off, should we talk about the refs then as well? What do we do with refs and VAR? It seems to be the perpetual discussion that we have. I mean, for God's sake, even Dermot Gallagher thought that this was a foul. Former Premier League referee.
Was there a foul on the keeper here?
I think Lenglet clearly fouls the goalkeeper for me. And I think the clue for me is the goalkeeper's in the air there. So I think the goalkeeper's in the air. He's got to play the ball. I think Lenglet goes into him. I think they're very, very lucky to have a goal. There you see there. Why I say that's so out of kilter with what we see week in, week out. The one thing you'd say, we have this suggestion the goalkeeper's overprotected. Well, he wasn't there, but I was surprised no foul.
It was a foul.
And he's right on it there. It's almost frustrating how often fouls are given on goalkeepers for nothing. You think, you wouldn't give that outside the penalty area. You've only given that free kick because he's got gloves on. And then suddenly we're shoulder barging Ilan Meslier into the back of the net.
It's like the 50s, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everyone's just saying, well, that seems fine.
It needed a bit of Pathé News commentary going, and it's a fair challenge.
In he goes, it's a shoulder. That's allowed. Adam's red going to get rescinded because the first yellow was a blatant dive.
Can't do that. It's outside of the remit, isn't it? But yeah, if you're gonna take the benchmarks for what's a foul and what's a booking, etc. Adam's walking near someone, yellow card. Meslier in the back of the net with someone laying on top of him, not even a foul.
Yeah. Graham Turville asks a very pointed question. He says, does Paul Tierney, who was on VAR at Stockley Park, know who his father was?
Seems not. Mm. He was the same man who disallowed the Pat Bamford goal for the push on...
That was a brutal foul.
On Gabriel, wasn't it? Which, again, if you're talking about levels of force involved.
Lucky to make it through the night, wasn't he, Gabriel?
I get the feeling you could sit down and show Paul Tierney like an exquisitely researched 90-minute documentary about his family tree, and at the end of it he still wouldn't know who his father was.
Some thoughts then from our TSB Plus members.
Why does the goal that Pat scored in the Arsenal match get called off as a foul on Gabriel if they can hit the goalkeeper like that, and then Kane can push Adams with both hands in a way more deliberate manner than Pat's?
VAR fucking sucks.
Kane's equalised, it was a fucking disgrace. And guess who the VAR was? Yeah. Full fucking Tierney. We all know what he is, don't we? That's right.
It's not wrong.
Sums it up well. Thanks to House of Stoats /Stouts, Bay Area Brandon for that, and obviously Ghost Shark.
Yeah, so Harry Kane, I think, in the build up to them getting that run of corners, pushes Rasmus really blatantly in the back, gets away with that one. He then pushes Adams like three times as the corner's coming in, and then two of them rugby tackle Meslier.
But apart from that,
the ones on Adams weren't fouls, though.
But do you know if that's an open
them,
play?
Yeah.
Well, then Rodrigo's won't count for the tackle in midfield. That was a dive.
If you watch that replay, because I had a Spurs fan pop up into our mentions, and I screen grabbed, I went back, thought, I'm going to watch that again and see.
I checked it as well because I had some Spurs fans complaining about it.
And actually, you freeze frame it, and what Adams does is he puts his body across and puts his foot down on the floor. In front of, was it Benton Kerr for that?
Yeah.
As well. So he put his body across him, didn't touch him. Benton Kerr just ran into him.
It was the same as the booking. Someone thinks they're going to get fouled by him, so they just jump before they get to him. So,
but Kane on Adams in the box, I saw someone mention that, so I watched it back and I was like, you weaken your own argument by when you start bringing like 50-50 ones, or it's not even 50-50, it might be into it. They blatantly barged the goalkeeper into the net, so it shouldn't have been a goal. It's as far as anybody needs to with it.
Although, talking about that series of corners, the one that we obviously scored from, was this the highlight of the Spurs game, do you think? You know the bit that we mean? We spoke about it, I think, on the Match Ball.
Signal given. Rocker is going across to take it for Leeds over on that far side. And the big lads are up from the back, inevitably. Leeds will try and capitalise in the final couple of minutes of this
and
first half.
And the deepest man is Somerville.
As we've seen previously, Rocker with the corner into the near post, headed away by Hoiberg. And then helped on by Kulusevski. And then it's flicked into penalty. Yeah, Rodrigo!
Yes!
Ah, Rodrigo has cracked the ball into the back of the net for Leeds United.
I do like listening to Bryn Law commentate.
That's why I thought I'd go for the Bryn rather than the...
It makes me feel alive. If you're not sure what we're referring to there, rewind about 30 seconds to 45 seconds and listen for what's going on in the background.
You're shit! You're so shit!
It's good use of a seat near the front. You can make a big difference. I saw a clip of some Fulham fans I couldn't work out who the other team was or the player was. There's a substitute warming up and he's warming up with his boot on the advertising hoarding, and the Fulham fan who's sitting there just starts saying, "Oh, all right, mate." It's the other team. He says, "All right, mate, do you think you're going to get on?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I don't know if they're going to put me." He's like, "Oh, so what do you think of the game so far?" He's like, "Yeah, we're doing all right." And the next one is, "Where are you from then?" Because he picks up an accent. He's like, "Where are you from?" So different to this. I respect the... there was a moment, I think it was Brentford a couple of seasons ago, when Calvin Phillips was getting along with the kids who were down the front of Brentford's end. But that's just Calvin Phillips being nice to everybody, every child and small animal that he meets. But yeah, just engaging in like a little get-to-know-you session with the other team substitutes. Our friend at Tottenham there, I think, is making more use of his front row ticket.
Leeds fans have got a good record of this as well. The Histon one where someone picked up the pitch side mic and shouted ITV's fucking shit.
I remember.
For like a 3 p.m. game or whatever it was.
Well, as a former employee of ITV, what did you think when that happened? You were there?
I thought it was really funny.
That started it, didn't it? That was the beginning of Sky TV is fucking shit that is still chanted to this day. It was because I don't know why it bothered them in the ground, but the coverage, you know, you're used to a game being rained off in person, but it was difficult to see it being rained off through a camera. All the rain seemed to be captured inside the lens that they were using. Everything else was probably fine. And then
commentating out of a garden shed on the roof, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure that was the first instance of that being sung. Respect
good,
to that person.
Good fun. Yeah, and when it comes to Leeds fans, are we the most cynical bunch in the world? How do we raise funds for the January transfer window? Because loads of people have been saying we need to strike a left back and now a centre back. So what are we going to do about it? And
I like it how centre back's been added to this list in the past fortnight.
We're missing the central midfielder as well. Someone's going to have to put central midfielder soon.
There is an argument for it because
Adam Forshaw, blue heart, yellow heart.
Well, yeah, I mean that would be nice. I'd love to see him back. But there was the element when one of the problems when we went five at the back was that we just left Tyler Adams on his own in midfield with the other defensive players. To shutting up shop with him were Sam Greenwood, Crescencio Somerville, who was the other player that was on? It was just a bunch of forwards, wasn't it? And him. And then Mark Rocker often seems to be the one who's getting a little bit caught out when people are running from midfield into our penalty area. So beautiful as his left foot is, you do wonder if maybe we have to wait until Darko Jabi is ready for the Premier League or a more energetic centre midfielder could work, but we can't have everything, can we?
At least Matt Quick's got the World Cup off. He'd be nicely rested. He was going away on his holidays by the looks of it. I saw he put some suitcase pictures on Instagram.
Oh, it was a dead giveaway of travel, that, innit?
So yeah, he was by some baggage carousel with his little, he had a little child suitcase on top of his. So he's obviously going away for a nice little family holiday rather than going to the World Cup.
He had a Supreme sticker on his luggage, of course, just making sure he's resolutely on brand. You have to love him.
Yeah, Dick Van No Control. Do we detect a hint of cynicism contained within this message that we received saying, how much will we get for Somerville this summer from Newcastle? He's got to be worth 30 million. So what, around 6 or 7?
That'll be Jackie. Jackie's on his way out, isn't he, maybe? Who knows?
Well, the biggest question I feel that was thrown up by the Spurs game, it's the rebrand of the Big Sexy Pirate, isn't it? Is Neil and Bobby.
I just want to give a shout out to Pascal Struijk. I think he does his best every week in a system that leaves us horribly exposed, especially, you know, in the fullback positions. He's a centre-back. He's about 8 feet tall. And he just has to chase players like Kulusevski and Salah. And he does such a good job. And I just wonder how good he would be at centre-back, like Michael said. And just sign a fucking left-back.
Fuck's sake. The biggest disappointment of the whole fucking game was what's happened to the big sexy pirate? What the fuck's he done to his hair? I'm devastated. Honestly, I don't think there's any coming back from this. Ah, enjoy the World Cup, fuckers. Bye.
Bobby eyebrows.
Well, I think he looks good short hair as well.
Yeah, I think it works both, yeah.
You got to remember when he turned up, he had a short back and sides, and looking back to that, it's like seeing a different person.
It's a flower that's bloomed.
And the little ponytail man bun pirate thing really was working for him. I don't know about him going back to the Hasselhoff version, but it's his hair, his life. We just avert our eyes whenever he comes on the pitch until he sorts it out again.
Right. Let's move on from Leeds United, because we're on holiday now, aren't we? But one thing we can do is we can still bask in the misery of other people, which is obviously one of the cornerstones of what Propaganda as a Show is all about. Where are we going now, Michael?
City Extra, Moscow's favourites.
Sekina Brin, Consuelo, all that.
They had a good weekend, didn't they?
Nope.
So City lost in the...
So they had a calm weekend.
98th minute to Brentford. And this is what City Extra had to say about that.
Phil Foden corner. 10th corner of the game. Oh, no.
Oh, you've absolutely been fucking dusted.
Oh, we're in the fucking serious shittery.
Take him, good, no.
Yeah, this three is on fucked two. It. We've fucking two. Lost it. Oh, fuck.
Good defending. Got back.
Oh, no. Goal.
Oh, my God. We're in the bin. We're in the bin.
Fucking deserve that, you shit twats. Deserve that. All game, shite. Zero subs, shite. That is poor, man. That is poor. Absolutely deserve that. Our corners. What have I said before about corners? What did I say about corners? Our corners are a disgrace. They're a disgrace. I'm sorry. I don't care about that stat last year about us having the best corners in the league.
No.
It's a myth. Our corners are actually embarrassing.
Mate, we're fucking
shite, mate.
We're fucking
absolutely
shit.
Absolutely shit.
We are shit.
Shit.
just for the record, that's Man City, who have 32 points out of 14 games, more than 2 points per game.
Yeah, I just looked at that. So across the season, they'd be getting 87 points is basically where they would be ending up, which I think for the majority of Premier League seasons would have been enough to win it for you. I know in recent years it's gone up towards more like...
Michael, I'd take 87 points right now if you offered it to me.
Can we actually reach 87 points?
It's a good question.
If we won every single game.
I mean, how many have we got left? So,
it's not about you, Paul Moscow.
It's sort of life, doing some life maths here now. So and we get 38 minus 14 gives us 24 games to play. So 24 times 3 equals 72. plus, what have we got?
I don't actually know.
15. We can get to 87 points.
Oh, get in.
That's good, isn't it? That's very serendipitous that came up. So we can still get to 87 points if we win every game from now until the end of the season.
But that'll still make us shit.
Yeah, because we'll still finish behind Arsenal and it will be unacceptable.
I did love it. I mean, it was like, I know there were stats last year that said we were the best at it, but
I'm disregarding the evidence.
I'm not happy with that.
To get angry on the internet.
They'll still win it. Arsenal won't keep this up, will they?
No, you wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they'll win another game. There you
yes,
go.
Good one.
That'll secure the title for the Gunners.
There we go. Well, that does wrap up Propaganda then, before Christmas. We'll be back with, when we're playing again, Man City. Man City! Well,
I'm not. At least we don't have to worry about the corners.
Indeed. Well, yeah. So we're playing on the 28th, so we'll do Propaganda sometime thereafter, around Christmas/New Year. But we will carry on regardless. We've still got the weekly show to come as Propaganda Extra as well. Some more questions and clips that we've got gathered together. What else have we got this week? Guide 2, James Milner. Going to chat about James Milner.
Played his 600th game, didn't he? So
yeah, a mere talking about him. Pup of a lad when he started in a Leeds shirt. So we've got all that to come. And we're carrying on across the World Cup as well. We're just going to chat a few times a week.
It's going to be shit, but it's going to be on, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got finally the World Butter Cup as well, which is quite hard to explain the format of, but we're following the World Cup tournament structurally, and we've put in Leeds players to represent the teams that are in there, but the working out is quite difficult. It's not something we can explain in a minute, is it?
Yeah, they're not. It's not like as simple as an Englishman representing England in the group. It's a European, it's the sort of federations that are aligned with the groups. It's quite complicated.
But
Moscow, you've not been involved in this, have you? So you're probably as confused as anyone.
It's absolutely thrown together nonsense. But we've gathered in some celebrity big names to come and play the Butter World Cup with us. Phil Hay is doing some of that with us, and he's already done the initial draw, hasn't he?
He has. He was confused.
Johnny Buchan from BBC Radio Leeds.
He was confused.
Where he squirmed because we recorded some of the episodes earlier. Some of the stuff about human rights we were probably career ending for him, but he didn't answer. He sat that one out.
I think he knows he does live radio, doesn't he? So he knows what not to say.
He knows where the line is. So that's going to be over on the Extra Ball for our TSB Plus members during the World Cup, keeping everybody entertained. So have a look out for all that, and we'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.